up your Thursday right here on B&E. Really, it starts the weekend, it feels like, with the sun coming out. It's going to be a nice day today, as a matter of fact. Sunny at 80 degrees. A little cloud cover, but mostly sunny. We'll take that. Rain back in the forecast tomorrow and into the weekend, but we'll enjoy today. I say it feels like the start of the weekend. Longhorns play tonight, taking on West Virginia. Big 12 baseball. You'll hear it here on the Horn. We'll talk to David Pierce at 8:30. Preview the final regular season series for the Longhorns. It should be fun. Plus, NBA playoffs are heating up and getting going. NBA playoffs round one will start this weekend with the play-in tournaments wrapping up tonight and tomorrow night in the association. We'll also have plenty of baseball and football conversations are building, which we'll get to. Buck, let's pay off the B&E factor of the day on this Buck Off Thursday. Buck, they lost the game last night to Memphis, but DeJounte Murray did have a triple-double, his fifth of the season, most by a Spur since which player? In a single season, five triple doubles in one season. That's the most since
Kawhi.
Not Kawhi. Zay, do you have a guess for me?
Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah,
that's a good guess, but no, a good guess. No, the Admiral David Robinson.
Ooh,
93-94.
Way on back there.
93-94. David Robinson. So pretty rare company there. Rarefied air for DeJounte Murray in the losing effort last night. And the question in San Antonio, is that it for Greg Popovich?
I believe it is.
He's going to coach Team
USA.
Loser,
draw, yeah.
But after 25 seasons and five championships.
25 seasons. 25,
yeah.
Yeah, it's time to roll on out of there to the wine country or whatever. I think this is it for Pop.
Right. Possibly.
It's like starting all over with this group that he has right now.
And they don't have a superstar. They've got some good players, this is a superstars league, and they don't have one. Yeah, it was going to be Kawhi, right? They were going to build around Kawhi for the long haul at the end of the Tim Duncan run, and it's got to have at least one. Two to be a real contender, and if you got three, you're a favorite.
Hey, you're a champion.
Yeah, well, that's been the history of the NBA, right? I mean,
no doubt about it, man.
Whether the organization builds it or the players form a super team, that's just how the league works, and Spurs don't have one right now.
Someone just asked, will there be hugs at the Mullet Open? If you come near me, there are going to be hugs.
That's right, brother.
So you can do whatever you do, but I haven't seen a bunch of guys in a year and gals. There are going to be some hugging up in there for sure.
June 11th.
Yeah, lots of hugs.
The 20th Mullet Open, the 21st year of the Mullet Open. We had to skip last year like most things did for the pandemic. Before we get to the headlines and the trending topics, Buck, I wanted to mention that I want to see who you would put your money on. And we will. Somebody asked if we'll reset our PGA Championship picks at hornfm.com. We'll do that coming up. Also get into the Texas football and the Big 12 conversation here in our Coach's Corner. But DraftKings, DraftKings.com, the ever-growing DraftKings, is out with the odds to be the winner of the Comeback Player of the Year in the NFL in 2021. Can you hazard a guess of who is the pretty heavy odds favorite Comeback Player of the Year?
Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, he's in it, but he's way down.
Yeah.
Dakota Prescott. Cowboys quarterback Dakota Prescott at +175.
Come on, man.
Heavy favorite to be the DraftKings.com NFL Comeback Player of the Year.
Does that mean wins and losses or just his individual stats? What is he going
performance.
To do?
Performance after being injured and not playing much last year at all. So you got Dak Prescott at +175, which is pretty good. Three candidates are at +600. Giants running back Saquon Barkley.
Ooh.
Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey, +600. And then followed by 49ers defensive back Nick Bosa, +700.
Pretty good.
Who do you like? If you didn't take Dak, who would you take? Is it Saquon?
For sure, yes.
Saquon?
Mm-hmm.
Also on the list, Chargers safety Derwin James, Broncos pass rusher Von Miller, Joe Mixon in Cincinnati. Odell Beckham Jr.
How much do I get for Odell for $100?
+2,500.
No, he didn't write my letter back. No, forget it. I'm going to waste $100 on that guy. I wasted paper on him.
49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo is +5,000.
How about this? If that team is healthy, he could be that guy, couldn't he? +5,000 for $100 on him? Think about it. If they get back to some of the, like you said, the Boses and everybody else playing defense, and they still have their wide receivers, some of those guys got to get healthy, and the running backs, Jimmy G could lead that team.
Yeah, but we have big stats. I mean, usually come
he's
back.
He's not going to have big stats.
He's kind of a manager. What about Trey Lance? So that's why these are fun, right? Because you got so many. Because, like, I would put Charger safety Derwin James. If he comes back and is a beast for the Chargers, who have a chance to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, but he'll get hurt before the season starts again.
Well, so will Jimmy G.
No, Jimmy G will make it to the season.
Jimmy Garoppolo can't stay healthy either. That's why they drafted Trey Lance. And how about this? I don't know if they have a core category for this at DraftKings, but they should. What about the comeback candidates for coming back from sucking? Because you got some candidates for that, right? You got Carson Wentz. But he wouldn't come back from an injury. He just come back from being terrible. Now he's in Indianapolis. What about Sam Darnold with the Panthers?
Hey, does Lamar Jackson get in there?
He didn't suck.
He sucked.
Come on, what?
The guy who sucks in the playoffs, how's that?
Okay.
Well, another category.
But you have three quarterbacks who have a chance because when you know, if you want to spin it optimistically, mm-hmm. Carson Wentz on a good team in Indy, you know, he wouldn't qualify for comeback player of the year because he played last year. He just played terribly. But and then you got Sam Darnold, you know, new location, Christian McCaffrey, Carolina. And then Jameis Winston in New Orleans. What if Jameis Winston walks in there for Drew Brees and all of a sudden...
That's true.
A year with Sean Payton and understanding that system, cut down the turnovers. I don't know.
How about a guy who had a great half of the season then sucked? Big Ben Roethlisberger. Went up with 1,000 interceptions.
I think he's going to look really old really early.
Do you think so?
Yep.
No, he's not.
Yep.
He's going to hand that ball off to little Franco.
I don't know. Something tells me Big Ben's not on the TB12 health regime.
Regimen. No. No, if you look at his...
Yeah, Tom Brady's looking younger.
Four or five chins. I wouldn't say Ben is there, no.
I don't think he's on the same diet plan.
Well, let me just say, when you got little Franco, things are going to look... when you see little Franco Harris...
That's so funny, because I'm way back when no one knew the name Jose Altuve, I would call him little Petey Altuve, because he reminded me of Pete Rose. And that stuck. So maybe little Franco Harris, Najee Harris.
Yeah, man.
We'll stick with the Pittsburgh football Steelers.
Absolutely. He's going to change that whole thing.
All right, so Dak Prescott, odds favorite for comeback player of the year with all those weapons in Dallas and hopefully a healthy offensive line. Saquon, Joe Burrow, Christian McCaffrey, who do you like in that? And can we have a category of coming back from just being bad? You know, all of a sudden finding a new location.
Odell Beckham really could come back and have a great year.
That's part of a really good team, too.
That's what I'm saying. If that thing works out there.
Well, that's the hope in Cleveland, right? But Odell got to sit back and watch that team become a team without him.
Yes.
And say, damn, they're really good. They can run the ball. They play action.
I need to be healthy.
Baker. Yeah. I just need to be a part of that. Don't give me the damn ball. I'm open, yelling at Baker in every huddle. You know, that's what he does. But, you know. All right, let's get to your headlines. Then we'll dive into this Big 12 conversation. The Big 12 has announced its Media Day plan. Let's first get you the headlines of the morning. UBO Business Services brings you the news, and it starts in the NBA. Memphis Grizzlies ended the Spurs season last night, 196. The victory in the NBA play-in tournament in Memphis. So it really was about the first quarter. Spurs found themselves down 21 points in the first quarter. Battled back and took a two-point lead with 7.5 to go, but came up short. First time in the franchise's 45 years that they will miss the playoffs in consecutive seasons. Grizzlies will advance now to face Golden State to determine who will be the eighth seed in the West and face Utah in round one. That's because in the late game last night, good game, Lakers rallied from 13 down at the half to take down the Warriors 103-100 in La La Land. LeBron James posted a triple-double, and he hit a go-ahead three-pointer with under a minute remaining to secure the Lakers the seventh seed in the West. They'll face Phoenix in round one beginning this weekend. Major League Baseball, the incredible run of no-hitters continued again last night. And for the second time this year, the Texas Rangers have been no-hit. It was former Ranger right-hander Corey Kluber. We hardly knew you. Tossed a no-no against his former team. 2-0 the final. He struck out 9. As we say, the second time for the Rangers this year. It's the fourth no-hitter in 15 days. It's the sixth already this season. And that does not include Madison Bumgarner's 7-inning no-no earlier this year. We're not even to Memorial Day. There were a combined 6 no-hitters over the last 2 seasons of Major League Baseball. In Oakland, the surging Astros moved within a half game of first place, the first place A's in the AL West with an 8-1 win in Oakland. Jose Altuve homered on the first pitch of the game. Yuli Gurriel drove in 4 to back Zach Greinke, who tossed 8 really solid innings. Houston has won 7 of 8.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, CB sent us some pictures of championship rings. So when Mac was at North Carolina, when we beat them at the Sun Bowl,
I mean, you can say we because you were on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
You were on the – that was 94. Correct,
95? North Carolina gave themselves rings for that loss?
Mack Brown hands out rings for everything. We learned that while he was here. Players like rings, jewelry.
No, dude, you don't get rings if you lose a game. You don't make a ring for a group that loses a bowl game.
That's
right?
A myth.
No, you can't. Yes. You can do that.
Are you bucking that off for Mack Brown?
That's a buck off. Well, Sun Bowl, 94.
Y'all won the game. Priest Holmes had four touchdowns.
Yeah. Really?
I saw the game. It was a great game.
What do you,
great game.
You get a ring for that? You don't get a ring for that.
In Mack Brown world, you do.
We didn't get a ring for that. And we won the game. What the hell? What the hell is that? We didn't get a ring for that. John, we didn't get one UT or... He gave out rings for all kinds of stuff, right?
No.
Mack had a ring with his picture on it, did he not?
Yes, he did. Yeah, remember Mack Brown at Texas had they got rings when they won the championship of Texas because they beat all the teams in Texas.
Oh, that
year, yeah. Mack was big on jewelry. I don't know if he had a cut of the ring or
Justin's?
Something. I don't know, but you know, here's Mack's the master recruiter. He knows players love jewelry and bling, and you know, players see it as an honor to go to the Sun Bowl.
What would you do with that ring? You'd have to give it to your grandma or something. You can't wear that ring.
Yeah, that's a.
I'll say, what ring is that? Oh, that's from the Sun Bowl.
It's a nice looking ring, too.
Did you crush Texas? Oh, no, we lost. Some people look at you like, what the hell are you doing with that on?
I don't disagree. But that's Mack's way. Mack likes to give his kids gifts, you know, and he thinks they earned it. But
losing ring in a bowl game? You know that. You didn't like that, right?
No, I don't like it. But I know we had that debate with Mack for 15 years. He'd give rings for everything. He would.
All the way back to the Sun Bowl.
That is funny that you guys won the game and didn't get a ring from John Makovic.
Priest Holmes punked them. Wow.
Hey, buck on to Jim Turner yesterday.
Hey, where's my ring?
You mentioned it yesterday.
Makovic.
Appreciate Jim Turner, the new offensive line coach at Texas State, joining us yesterday. That was a hoot and a lot of fun. We'll have to do that again. I sent a note to Jake Spavital and said, thanks for arranging that. And he said, absolutely. He listened and laughed. And so we'll talk to Jimmy T again. It is Coach's Corner time. It is brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. And what say you Spurs fans? Is that it for Greg Popovich? Do you agree with Buck that that's going to be it for him? And he'll ride away after Team USA plays in the Olympics. And Isaiah Collier posed a provocative question earlier that I hadn't thought about is who's going to play for Team USA?
Yeah.
If you look at the timing of the Summer Olympics and the end of the NBA championship and the compressed schedule that they've already played under in the last calendar year, it's fair to say that a lot of the top players in the United States are going to say, you know what, I'd like to go play for gold, but that's a lot of basketball. I don't know. We'll see where that trends, and now Greg Popovich can focus solely on Team USA. Also, Buck, I wanted to mention this, that there's a player that's going to be a junior in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? His junior season, kid named Arch Manning. Arch Manning. He plays for, he's a five-star quarterback from New Orleans, Louisiana, plays at Isidore Newman High School. Of course, his uncles are Peyton and Eli. His grandfather is Arch.
His dad, Tucker or?
Cooper.
Cooper.
He is the son of Cooper Manning. And he is seen by recruiting analysts as he'll be the number one quarterback in a couple of years after he finishes his senior season. Our friends at Horns 24/7, Mike Roach over there, their recruiting expert, caught up with him and asked him about the University of Texas and the possibility of them being in the Arch Manning conversation. And he said, right now he's focused on playing ball and getting ready for the fall. But when asked about Texas and Steve Sarkisian, he said, I like Coach Sark a lot and his staff. I think they're going to get it going in the next few years, and I'm excited to see what they can do. Obviously, he's a freak of a coach, and what he did with Alabama and the Falcons and everywhere else, he knows how to coach quarterbacks. He's actually just a real nice guy, really laid back. I like him a lot. And he also has a great relationship with A.J. Milwee, who is the Texas quarterbacks coach who came with Steve Sarkisian from Alabama. So we'll keep an eye on that, you know, the recruiting side of things.
That'll come in a hurry if he's a junior, so.
Yeah, in the next 6 months to a year, you're going to hear where Arch Manning goes. Alabama is seen as the favorite right now, by the way. But, you know, Uncle Peyton and Uncle Eli and Grandpappy.
Oh, my goodness.
They're going to have some say on that, right, Cooper? Ole Miss will be in the conversation, you got to think, if they get things straightened in Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee for sure, if they can. They need to start winning, though. That kid is not going to go to Tennessee if they still suck.
Mike Roach.
And they've been sucking out loud.
Mike Roach says that in his conversation that he's actually Arch told Mike Roach that he's going to be taking a trip to Texas this summer, June 13th. You know, June 1st, it opens up. Players can start going on recruiting visits again, official, which is huge for the Texas football staff because this is your first chance to really get out and get a live first impression with these players. Go face-to-face now that the COVID restrictions are going to be lifted and it's open season. You know, this is seen as a really high-level recruiting staff that Steve Sarkisian's put together, but you got to go do it. And Arch Manning apparently is coming here June 13th, and he says he's never been to Austin. So I'm looking forward to seeing the facilities and just seeing Austin itself.
Yeah, I'm wondering if a kid like that can come and throw and move because can you have camps then? Is this almost like
camps are coming this summer?
Mini camps when they come on as recruiting trips?
Yeah, there's a Steve Sarkisian camp this summer, I believe, coming on. And
good.
Those are always big. Yeah, the world gets back to normal in that, you know, in that place as well, the recruiting level, which is good to see. I wanted to ask you this too, Buck, and we'll keep you posted on the Arch Manning situation. He's a junior in high school. He's not even there yet, but it's a name to watch for because his last name is Manning.
And he's good.
He's pretty good, apparently, according to those. He's still kind of skinny, but so was Eli in high school, and so was Peyton, and so was Cooper, for crying out loud. Hey, Buck, so Big 12 announced, and we knew this in advance. I got a tip on this week or so ago.
He was reporting that almost.
No, I didn't report it. I reported it to you and the powers that be.
You kept that quiet.
That I was hearing that the Big 12 was going to put the Big 12 football media days July 14th and 15th, AT&T Stadium in Arlington.
It's right after the All-Star game?
Yeah, it'll be the Wednesday and Thursday after the baseball All-Star game. It's one of the slowest times of the sports calendar, non-COVID, because they were all slow with COVID. But so, and look, the Big 12 was pretty clear about this. They think this is a big year for the Big 12. They believe that they've got potentially the preseason number one team in the country. And Iowa State, can I give you this? And we'll let the listeners weigh in too.
Okay.
Top Big 12 storylines for 2021 that we will be covering in about 7 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Jerry World. You and I will be up there live both mornings. Day one will feature Baylor. Check that. Day one will feature Iowa State and Oklahoma. So that first day you get a couple of top 10 teams in Oklahoma and Iowa State, plus Kansas State, TCU, and West Virginia. And then second day will feature Baylor, Kansas, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and Texas. So Thursday of the Big 12 medias will be Steve Sarkisian. So is it fair to say that the number one storyline for the Big 12 when we get there will be Oklahoma? They're number one?
Yes.
Likely. How about this? Paul Feinbaum, right? Of SEC Network and ESPN fame.
That guy of the years?
The man of the years.
Was
on Jocks Radio. Was on Jocks Radio this week and was asked about Oklahoma. And even though he is seen as an SEC homer and probably is, he says, "I think you have to be on this bandwagon." Speaking of Oklahoma, I think you have to. A lot will pick them to be number one in the country, and I can see that. There are some faults with Clemson. There are some minor faults with Alabama, Georgia. The obvious fault is Georgia, which he says, a little dig at Kirby Smart. And then Oklahoma, you can't really find any. The schedule's pretty good. I think their big non-conference game is at home. Nobody's going to get too concerned about Texas anymore, is what Paul Feinbaum had to say about Oklahoma, which, you know, Texas fans don't want to hear that, but they've had their way with Texas over the last several years and won the Big 12. And, by the way, Oklahoma's schedule, the big non-conference home game they have, Nebraska.
They'll crush them.
Yes. I mean, now that's a
Seriously.
Huge game for history.
Nah,
like the rekindling of Nebraska-Oklahoma in Norman. That'll be a big deal for the history books and all the past and pomp and pageantry. But on the field, Nebraska.
Half a hundy on that group.
Agreed. So that's their big non-conference. So there's not a big non-conference stumbling block for the Sooners.
No.
And then the conference. And guess the number two storyline in the Big 12 clearly is Iowa State.
Yeah, I mean, are they a national player now? I mean, they're not just in the Big 12. Are they in a hunt for the Big 12 championship? Can they find their way with all these guys returning to win a bunch of games and get in the national picture? That's where they are, for me this year at least.
Yeah, and that'll be part of the day one at the Big 12 Media Days is talking to Matt Campbell. And can I give you this piece of news? Can we get some breaking news? Is that Isaiah Collier? Oh, yeah. So according to Dennis Dodds of CBSSports.com, this offseason, Matt Campbell turned down a contract offer to become the new head coach of the Detroit Lions, 8 years, nearly $70 million.
What the hell's wrong with him?
I don't know. Matt Campbell turned it down.
$70 million?
Yes. According to Dennis Dodd, 8 years, $68.5 million to coach the Detroit Lions.
You should have gone, and the rest of your team that came back should have gone too. What the hell are they doing there? Why are they all coming back, including the head coach?
That would give you a little insight into the loyalty of Matt Campbell and what he thinks he has at Iowa State.
And what he thinks he has coming back, because he talked all those dudes into coming back too. That's incredible. And hell, on Thursday, one of the other storylines is TCU. Did they not finish pretty well? A team that floundered in the beginning of the season, but finished like on a 5 or 6 game winning streak.
Yeah, well,
are they going to be back to?
Well, we know what those two. Those are your top two storylines. Let me mention this, and I always go back to it. Matt Campbell, essentially upon turning down that offer, $70 million to move to the NFL and coach in Motown, put out a tweet. It was back on January the 10th. In which the head coach of the Cyclones wrote, "So grateful for the commitment of so many to continue to want to build our program together. Our foundation has been built on loyalty and faithfulness, and it will continue to be our guiding light, humbled and grateful to continue to lead to be different." So that's a huge, I mean, Matt Campbell turned down $70 million to coach professional football.
Maybe Ames is a more of a paradise than we do think, you know?
Been there. It's okay.
It's just okay.
So that's a huge story. And of course,
Champaign, Illinois.
We talked about Brock Purdy and...
Yes,
you know, the tight end coming back, Charlie Kolar. I mean, all these guys.
Running back.
I mean, Breece Hall. I mean, that'll be really interesting. But $70 million, and that, by the way, you know, they didn't hire Matt Campbell. They hired Dan Campbell. Maybe they just wanted to hire Campbell in Detroit. And he was told of this offer, and he looked at his contract and went, what?
And he's looking for Lions.
He wants a
Tiger.
Lion.
He wants Tigers.
Well, let's just say that Dan Campbell's contract is not for $68.5 million.
No. Oh, no.
He's aware of that.
They don't give meat money like that. They just don't.
So Dan Campbell, how about Dan Campbell? He's got to know he got probably half the deal.
Probably, yes.
And they settled for him, or they had to settle. They had to drop back to the other Campbell. Not good. So that's out there. We need the other storylines, though. Obviously, Texas with a new head coach is always going to be a huge storyline in the Big 12.
Yeah, I think TCU's a storyline.
All right, we'll run through some, I think. What do y'all think? Bucky thinks as well. We'll get you ready for the PGA Championship, which is teeing off right now at Kiawah Island, South Carolina. Also, the other top stories of a Buck Off Thursday. Buck Ons and Buck Offs all morning long. Brought to you by Green Mountain Flower Company. It's B&E, live, local, and digital. Streaming on your smart speaker, on your Horn app, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, B&E with you on a Buck Off, Buck On Thursday, and I'd say Buck On to these guys. These are my brethren from Akron, Ohio, Buck. The Black Keys.
Uh-huh.
Black Keys, they also grew up on the mean streets.
On the other side of the track?
The Black Keys, Dan Arbach and company, LeBron, and myself, and my brother.
But you were the only one on the other side of the tracks. They were.
I think we were all. There's only one side of the tracks in Akron, I'm just telling you.
There is?
You go down
no other
through
side?
You go down through the gorge and up the other side, and you're in a better spot, but... You're in Akron. You're in the mean street.
McAvick used to tell me there's other side of the tracks that he used to live on.
In Barberton.
In Barberton. He said there's tracks, but he lived on, it's hard to believe that dude lived on the other side of the tracks, but he said he did.
John McAvick from Barberton, not far from Akron.
A little rough area, I guess.
Kind of
Barberton.
No, it's a nice place.
They're good.
South Akron's nice. That's down by the Goodyear
plant. That's Gary, Indiana. It's a little rougher on the edges, too.
Gary's a hole.
Steel mills not going well.
Yeah, I'd rather be in Akron than Gary, I will say that.
Oh, really?
If you go south, I was on North Hill in Akron, so north of downtown. But if you live south, that's down where Firestone Country Club is and the Goodyear plant and all that.
Yeah, where those folks live.
Goodyear headquarters, Firestone,
DF
Goodrich, all the tires. But point of that is, Buck, onto the Black Keys. They got a new album out last week, Buck, called Delta Cream. Came out last Friday, and it's right back to their roots. If you like Delta Blues and... old school, you know, Black Keys kind of blew up and had all the pop chart hits and rock chart hits, and this album's completely back to old school strip back blues, which is really good. So if you're a fan of that, you'll like it. And speaking of live music, Buck, on to this. I'm pretty sure the ACL Fest lineup is announced today.
Cool.
I believe the lineup will be announced today, and so we'll get details on that. That's exciting. Coming up two weekends in October, the lineup will be out. And live music coming back on in earnest in Austin. Buck, on to this. Next Thursday, Buck, actually starting next Wednesday. How about this? Our friends from the Black Pumas.
Yeah.
They're playing
Stubbs.
They're saying five straight sold-out shows at Stubbs starting next Wednesday into Memorial Day weekend. And they're already all packed, sold out. It's a rebooking from last year.
Yeah, dude, I go elbow to elbow to see that one.
I know. It's going to be pretty badass to have Black Pumas back playing, and Stubbs should be a cool hangout next week.
I told you, they played at the
Super Bowl, or no, draft.
At the draft, and got a standing ovation from a sparse crowd that just loved their song Colors. This went crazy.
Well, that's a hit, man. That's a global hit. And it's pretty cool that you know, the Black Pumas, since the pandemic hit, they were kind of a big band, and all of a sudden, through the pandemic, their songs have gotten a lot more play. They actually played at the Grammys. They were Grammy nominated for Album of the Year for their debut album. And now they're not just an it band in Austin, they're an it band around the world these days.
Yeah, I'm listening to them in my house now through the, thank you, Tom McKay, through my system. That, boy, that sounds good. High ceiling stuff like that. I got to get Zay into some Black Puma music. They're good.
They're very, very good.
It's kind of soulful, you know?
Yep. No question. So that's fun. We got music coming back in the live music capital world. We've got football on the brain, talking Big 12 Media Days coming up in July. We've got NFL, we've got no hitters in baseball, NBA playoffs are here, which is fun. So on the way to the timeout, we were talking about the Big 12 Media Days, Buck, and previewing them. They're about 2 months out now, July 14th and 15th in Arlington. We'll be back on the field at Jerry World under the big screen doing our show live.
And we'll be 6 feet apart any damn way in that big place.
Yeah, and there's plenty of spacing.
Yes, there
on
is.
On the football field.
Right.
It's almost, it's too big of a place to be doing
certainly
it.
Certainly going to miss Les Miles all pilled out when he comes to the stage.
And I'll ask you this trivia question. You and Zay, could you name the person who was named the new head coach of Kansas football? It kind of came and went without much fanfare.
Now, I'd like to deviate
seems you've been
from that.
Deviating from a lot of things lately there.
That's the last time we were up there, and you can hear that sound you hear that sounds like he's under in a fish tank or something. It's under the big screen. So that's that big screen kind of humming at Cowboy Stadium. That's Les Miles.
And he was now doing something that day. Something just wasn't right with him. Or a lot of times with him.
I think he was hopped up on
something.
Something. Not too. Yeah, I think he had some pills in him of some kind.
Yeah, some vitamins.
He was loopy. Because Les Miles is always a little loopy. That's not to judge or make light of anybody that's got addictions, but that was clear. He was off.
He was.
Can we play that again? Because his whole press conference was like this. This is when he's up on the main stage to all the press, and it was just he was pausing and stumbling through it. He wasn't really making cogent statements, it didn't feel like. This is the sound clip we pulled from that.
Now, I'd like to deviate from that.
Okay.
The cadence is hilarious. Okay, so by the way, the Kansas new head football coach is someone named Lance Leopold.
Lance? Who? Leopold?
Leopold, Leipold.
And where is he coming from?
Hell if I know.
Kansas Community College?
Maybe he was like at Buffalo.
Ooh.
Guess on this. Lance Leopold made his name at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater.
Is that bad?
It's not good.
That's your new coach here.
And then
Kansas.
He went to Buffalo. So he went from University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, where he led them to 109-6 record, and then on to Buffalo for three seasons.
Man.
Now he's the head coach at, you know, his best all-time football player from Buffalo? Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack, that's right.
Khalil Mack. Bad mofo with the the Chicago Bears. All right, so top storylines in the Big 12. We know nationally it's going to be Oklahoma as a potential number one team and a national championship threat. We read the quote from Paul Feinbaum saying even folks in the SEC realize that Oklahoma has very few holes this year and a schedule that is favorable to at least be in the Final Four and then be a contender. How good is Iowa State? It's a major question. We mentioned Matt Campbell turning down nearly $70 million from the Detroit Lions to return and be loyal. Be loyal to the players, and there's something to that, Buck. There's something bigger, right? They're playing for something else. They're not just playing for themselves or stats. They're playing for something big
right
at Iowa State to really lay a foundation. And when their coach is willing to turn down that kind of contract, players can understand that. That's a big deal. I mean, that's a once in a if things don't go well this year, Matt Campbell may never be offered a deal like that again in his life.
Yeah, with all those returners, your quarterback coming back, yes.
Yeah, what if they have a rough year and there's some injuries and all of a sudden Dan Campbell's
right.
not the hot commodity? You know, that's hard money to turn down. The storyline I put is anytime Texas has a new head football coach and it's Steve Sarkisian, that'll be a big deal. Everyone will want to hear from Sark and his vision for the program, coming up. We've heard it here locally, but that'll be on a grander stage and a bigger stage nationally.
Yeah, in July. He'll be the focal point when he comes through and we get an opportunity to talk with him on that second day. But the first two, I think will, those are the two teams that I believe will be ahead of the University of Texas still.
Well, so the storyline is Steve Sarkisian at Texas, but who's third, right? I mean, and that's where, you know, here's what I jotted down for, you know, the storylines we'll be working towards when we get there. You know, which third-year head coach and his program takes the biggest leap, right? Is it Neil Brown at West Virginia in his third year? Is it Chris Klieman at K-State? Can Matt Wells at Texas Tech get footing and push it forward and become a factor in the Big 12? I think of those three programs, which would you put your money on to be the highest level this year?
I mean, almost like the fourth story, or just because I said TCU. I mean, that's a big story.
Well, no, that's what I wrote for four. Five for me was which third-year coach takes a big step.
West Virginia.
Okay, Neil Brown. I like Neil Brown. I like that too. Chris Klieman, K-State.
How can I leave Oklahoma State out?
Well, that's number four on my list. Which longtime coach gets his program into contention? Is it Mike Gundy and Gary Patterson, right? Those are the deans of the conference. Those guys have been there longer than anybody.
Gundy loses a lot.
But
he brings his quarterback back.
The Oklahoma State went 8-3 a year ago.
Yes.
Quietly. But yeah, they do lose. They do bring back their quarterback, right?
And that's not getting to be good enough at Oklahoma State.
Now Boone Pickens has passed, so the pressure
is off Gundy a little bit.
Well, look, I mean, Mike Gundy had his issues last year with his boss, Mike Alden, the AD,
right?
The fans, the whole, you know, his team at some level, but they did go 8-3 in 11 games last year, won a bowl game. So, you know, they're interesting. And then Gary Patterson is always interesting. Where are they, the Horned Frogs? I mean,
they got a quarterback now.
I mean,
believing in who they have, right?
Somebody in the Big 12 has to be the third team, and you know, I think Texas can be that and be in contention with the top two, but we'll see. Texas has to beat TCU. Haven't done that in a while.
Right.
Texas did beat Oklahoma State a year ago, but you know, they've got to take care of TCU, and you know, then there's Baylor with Dave Aranda in year two.
He's still rebuilding now.
Feels like it. And Charlie Brewer, his quarterback, transferred out to Utah.
Yeah, he's rebuilding.
And then there's Kansas. Ugh.
Yeah.
Mike,
Lance
Leipold. How many people could you ask who know college football well who would get that question right? Who is the new coach? 6 out of 100. Oh, man. Okay. Well, there we go. That's exciting to have.
Yeah, I mean, is Texas the solid three? That is.
I think so.
You do?
Year one, if Steve Sarkisian's team's not better than Oak State, I think that's a problem. Because I do think, again, I think Tom Herman left this program more talented than he found it. I think there's a lot of good players here that were underdeveloped and undercoached. And I know you can't develop them and coach them up in 6 months, but they can be better. And game management, I mean, that biggest problem with this team last year was fundamentals and game management.
Well, they better be better than TCU.
Agreed.
That's a hurdle. That's not just a stumbling, but that's a hurdle. Texas needs to get over that deal because no matter who
that's at Fort Worth.
Well, yeah, and no matter who the head coach is of Texas, Gary has his guys believing once again, oh, it's just Texas.
Yeah, well, that's how it's been. I mean, ever since they've joined the Big 12. And really, whether, you know, Gary Patterson had Tom Herman, I think, what was Tom Herman's final record in 4 years against TCU? Was it 1-3 or 2-2? I think it might have been 2-2. And they had the game this year was, you know, the Keontae Ingram fumble at the goal line and the comedy of errors. It was just a poorly played football game that Texas gave away to TCU. But yeah, I mean,
I think most
people, you may not, because I know where your opinion is of Texas, but I think if they're not in the third spot when it's all said and done next year, that's going to be a disappointing first year for Steve Sarkisian. I can understand if Oklahoma is a top team that's, you know, playing for a national title, and Iowa State with all of the returners and Matt Campbell take a step and they're a top 10 team. You better be third though.
I'm thinking they're going to lose three games next year. So I don't know where that puts them. That probably does put them around third.
Yeah.
But I'm including the non-conference games too. So I'm putting them at losing three games.
You think they're going to lose to Louisiana, one of the Louisiana, Arkansas, or who's our third non-conference game this fall?
I'll just say this. If they go 2-0 in those non-conference games, I think they're on their way to push in number two. And that's Iowa State too. If they can do that, if they lose one of the two opening games, then they're on their way to losing three games, and they're going to hope to be a solid third place. You know what I'm
Louisiana,
saying?
Louisiana, Arkansas, and then Rice. I thought it was Rice, and that will be here at DKR. If they're 3-0 facing Texas Tech on the 25th, that's a good sign.
That is a great sign.
And then it's Texas Tech, then they go to TCU, then the Oklahoma game in the Cotton Bowl, then Oak State before the bye week. So, all right, there you go. We'll take your top storylines for 2020. 21. This says Baylor will have a bounce back year.
I don't think so.
We'll see. Baylor with Dave Aranda in year two and some coaching changes that he made on his staff after one a difficult year last year. But yeah, Big 12, Big 12 media days. And I'll give the Big 12 this, a buck on. There was some foresight here. They understand this is an important year. They could have the number one team in the land when it starts. And, you know, they're putting their media days first. They're jumping on it at July the 14th, which is the Wednesday after the baseball All-Star game.
Nice and quiet.
Really slow time of the calendars, which will open up for everybody. National college football writers will be here to talk to Lincoln Riley and Spencer mm-hmm. Rattler and Steve Sarkisian. That's a smart move for the Big 12 to launch their season and not get covered
that's
up by other stories.
Good move. Absolutely right.
All right, we come back. When we do, it is Hot or Not. Isaiah Collier, our producer, walks us through the topics we've missed halfway through the show. Remember, David Pierce, Texas baseball coach, previews the final weekend of the regular season coming up at 8:30 with our weekly visit with the skipper. It's B&E Live, local and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Horn's text line is brought to you by Specs. Specs wine, spirits, and finer foods. You're on the way. Less to pay. Everyday store. Cheers to savings. What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers. No impurities. No regrets.
No regrets whatsoever, never here on V&A or on Hot or Not, I know that. Will the Jacksonville Jaguars regret the breaking news that just dropped in our last segment? It is official. Jacksonville has signed Tim Tebow to the roster.
Okay. Still hasn't made the team.
Still has not made the team.
Right.
Heck, I saw where my crappy Houston Texans have signed another quarterback. Like, they have like five quarterbacks on the roster now. They signed the veteran QB... Can remember his name. Let's see if this story will pop up for me, for crying out loud. Jeff Driskel to a one-year deal.
Been around for a while.
Yes. So he was in Denver. So he's there with Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Finley and the guy they drafted out of Stanford and Deshaun Watson. He's still on the roster, by the way.
He's still there.
Now.
That's right. For
and
now.
Apparently working out. So that would go to the Tebow thing. The Texans aren't going to keep five quarterbacks. Just because they signed a guy doesn't mean he's on the team. These are not guaranteed deals. These are invites to the camp, essentially, and show yourself. And so Tim Tebow will have an opportunity to do that. Also, as we mentioned, ACL Fest lineup announced 10 o'clock this morning. So if you're waiting on that, tickets go on sale for the concerts and for the festival, which returns after a year off in October at noon. So lineup announced at 10, tickets at noon at aclfest.com. And Isaiah Collier, who's going to walk us through Hot or Not, I was looking, you piqued my interest on this USA basketball roster, and with that Greg Popovich is going to coach. I'm trying to figure out players who could play. You know, Jared Allen is a finalist, the former Longhorn, as his lifetime Longhorn, Miles Turner. They're finalists to be on Team USA.
Oh, yeah, they'll be on it because those other guys, there'll be a bunch of guys bailing out. Yeah. Those dudes would love to play.
I'm just probably. Looking at their website of guys who haven't. I mean, do you think Steph Curry would play?
Nah.
No?
No, not after the year he had. He knows, like you said earlier, E, they're going to come back with a vengeance next year, especially if Clay's healthy. So,
and he'll miss the fall golf season. He wants to be playing golf,
too. Oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah. He's a
it's
huge golf guy.
It's a gold medal. It's the Olympics.
No, dude.
Country.
He's done it. He's going to go and play his golf round of golf.
When I Googled it, here's some of the names I got. Jason Tatum, Celtics, probably.
Maybe.
Kemba Walker of the Celtics could be on the team.
All of those are babies. Jason Tatum had COVID this year. Kemba Walker's been going through injuries.
Yep.
I don't know. There's Miles Turner of the Pacers, former Longhorn.
He's hurt right now.
I know. And that, you know, we talk about that. They have a compressed schedule this year because of the bubble into the fall and then quick turnaround for the NBA season. And the NBA Finals won't wrap up for another couple of months. And then the Summer Olympics are in July.
Told you. Kawhi Leonard will be there for sure.
Think Kawhi?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Prediction. KY will be there.
You call him KY? Like the jelly?
Like, sort of like he gave it to the Spurs,
oh,
yes.
You walked me right into that.
Oh, yeah. KY will be there.
Damn.
He's going. He said it
Damn.
Early. He's one of the first guys that said, I'm going to be there.
Isaiah Collier, what are you having, Hot or Not?
Thanks, fellas. So, they are making a 6-part documentary on the captain. Derek Jeter is getting his own Last Dance type documentary, and I think Spike Lee is the director, and they have some producers from The Last Dance, which makes a lot of sense because if you are a Derek Jeter fan, you know that he's the first baseball player ever to sign with the Michael Jordan brand. So, fellas, how do you think this six-part documentary is going to come out?
It's going to go marvelous. Come on, we're talking about the captain. We're talking about Jeter. He married a lady who can talk to horses. Make a horse talk. Really?
If they break down each segment in women,
is it going to be a documentary on the girlfriends of Derek Jeter along the way?
I'm with that.
But that will be mentioned. You know that's going to be mentioned.
It better. Well, that's going to be the question. How interesting is it based on how revealing Derek Jeter is and how much access Derek. That was always going to be the case with Michael Jordan and his series. I mean, the Last Dance.
No, Michael Jordan gave us more than Jeter will probably give us.
Well, that's because
he's a real private kind of dude, you know?
That documentary, The Last Dance, would have moved forward a long time ago. They had all that video back from 1998, and it took 20 years to get Michael to say, okay, I'll do it. And then when he did, he was pretty accessible. I mean, and I don't know if they challenged some of the things in there. I don't know that it was one of these Ken Burns documentaries where mm-hmm. it's meticulously because he got to have his say on things. But either way, it was really good. I mean, it was 10 parts. What is Derek Jeter's? What's the conflict in Derek Jeter? Because we know with Jordan there was conflict, right? He had conflict with Isaiah Thomas. He had conflict with teammates. He had conflict with gambling. He had conflict with the people who killed his dad. He had the baseball thing, the comeback.
Jeter doesn't have much, except for as he got older, he made every play look harder than it really was.
I don't know. I just don't. I get it. I'll probably watch it because I love baseball and I love Derek Jeter. I just don't know what the compelling conflict of his career was. Hey, Rod?
I got that bobblehead. I'll probably sleep with that throughout the series, or throughout that.
For the well, I know the ladies will watch because he's a handsome man. He's very handsome, that Derek Jeter.
He's got that moon head now, though.
Well, but the video gone. Will be of his when he's in his prime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
I don't know. Well, weigh in on that. Are you interested in any, like the Mike Tyson one? Can't wait. Can't wait because there's so much conflict. It's all about conflict. It's Mike Tyson. Jeter?
Not so much.
Maybe A-Rod's his conflict when A-Rod showed up. Somebody said conflict, herpes. Oh,
how does
man.
That always come up in guys? You know what I'm saying?
We got to bring that up.
Yeah.
People are ruthless. You too, Mr. KY. We'll be back when we do resetting the headlines. Also, more on this football conversation. And yes, David Pierce, the Longhorn head baseball coach, joins us at 8:30, live, local, and digital. Always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.